All right, Investor Plus is officially live, and it's everything you've been waiting for.
We're talking AI power networking to connect you with other investors who are serious about building their portfolio, not just dreaming about it.
You'll get access to Market Master Her, our step-by-step ebook that'll help you master any market, and an on-demand real estate fundamentals course that'll help you build your confidence. And nationwide chapter access, exclusive discounts worth over $6,000, and a 21-day meditation guide, because hey, balance is key.
Managing construction projects and making sure it stays on time and on budget can make it or break a deal. In today's episode, I'm going to break down three factors that can not only make you very successful on a project, but also put you on a position where you are able to scale with confidence.
Welcome to the Investor Podcast. I'm Liz Faircloth.
And I am your co-host, Andrea Segadelli. So Liz, let's break this down. I do believe if you are listening and you apply those three things, you are 99.9% ahead of a lot of investors, right?
Yay!
True experience here. And everything that is coming out of my mouth is based on my experience. So if it fits you, keep it. If it doesn't, throw it out. So we are talking about managing, more specifically, project managers that are managing your contractor. And if you do not have a project manager, you are the project manager because you are the one in contact with your contractor. And I'm going to break this down because the goal is for you to fire yourself from this position so you're able to grow, right? So if it is you or a PM, here's the number one thing. I can go ahead here and give you very specific strategies, which I will, that you will be implementing. But if we have the right people, the right person on the wrong seat, it doesn't really matter anything that I'm going to say, anything that we're going to be giving it to you, any template, anything, I guarantee you. So the personality, the capability of the person managing the contractor or the PM, it is really essential. So let's look at a project manager kind of like description, right? Liz, you have worked in the past for a consultant company that evaluated and supported companies into building right teams. So when we look at a project manager, right? Needs to have tough conversations with contractors, needs to have organization to keep the budget on track and orders, and you name it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And you also need to be task oriented. Otherwise, it's going to be chit chatting about other things that don't really matter. I'm just assuming that that's what happened with people oriented, right? But let's
not nice.
But let's break it down. Yeah. What is the when you look at somebody, who is the ideal project manager?
No, and there's three pieces of this puzzle before we get into personality. There's knowledge and skills. It is always helpful that someone has project management experience, especially in construction, especially in real estate. So you can't dismiss that, although most people just are only focused on that. And so what we're shining the light in is there's another element, especially if someone's a little newer, that it really is important that they have the right personality fit because they can learn the trade. You can't learn how to be dominant. I mean, you can, but it's not going to last. So let's talk about some kind of basic behaviors you want to look for. Number one is someone who takes charge. We call it dominance in the assessment tool that I know of, but somebody who takes charge of a situation. They tend to be more direct. They tend to jump in a little quicker to lead. That behavior helps as a project manager because they are literally managing a project and they are the leader, right? You can't be led by your contractor or led by the plumber. You're leading them. So that level of kind of dominance is important. Number two is someone who's task oriented. You just said it, Andressa. So many people, when they interview people and meet people, they get enamored by more people-oriented individuals. They smile, they're more engaging. that's important for a lot of positions. It's a lot of importance for a lot of different roles. But in terms of like project management, especially managing a construction job and in a flip, as well as a rental you're renovating, it matters that they can drive hard. So what you want to look for is efficiency. You want to look for less words. You want to look for somebody who kind of gets to the point, but just kind of get to the point, a little more matter of fact. That matters. They may not be as likable, but they want to be able to kind of get to the point. That actually
wouldn't care.
You wouldn't care. But an extrovert would care. Like if I'm interviewing someone and I don't have that knowledge base, I go, oh, they're a little cold. I want someone a little more friendly. But do you? You don't need necessarily someone friendly unless they're selling for you or helping serving other people. And then the other thing I'd say, two other things, is someone who has a sense of urgency, right? So someone who is able to move a little faster. It's not intelligence, but they move a little faster, they're a little one step ahead, right? Someone who's a little more proactive versus reactive. There are ways to assess that with people. Definitely like tell me a time that, you know, you had to lead a project and make sure you're not only keeping with the project timeline, but ahead of it. And then the last thing is formality. And what we describe there is somebody who is attentive to detail, right? Not someone who's shooting from the hip, not somebody who's overly blunt or outspoken, someone who's taking notes, is a little more careful, conscientious. They're taskmasters. That's ultimately a great project manager, especially in our field of investing.
And if you are somebody that is like, oh, shoot.
I'm not those things.
I shouldn't be managing it, or I have the wrong person on it. And how do I identify that? Probably you do not have a organized matter. Things are everywhere. Your projects, you actually don't know if you're on time because there is no track record of that. So you do not remember when did it start. And what are the phases? And if you are ahead of the game or not, because that was never started. So if you're hearing me and you do not know this information, you fire yourself and get somebody there. Because nothing personal, please. You're on the wrong seat. That's all. Wrong seat. Because you want to make sure that this part, you can make it or break it. Another 3 weeks in a project, another 4 weeks, depending on how big the project is. That's your profit. That's your profit going down the drain there. So I want to make sure that you know what is the cost of you going another week. How much does it cost per week if it continue going that way? And make sure that you put that in place, right? So number one, getting the right person on the right seat. Now let's get to the nitty gritty of things, right? All the people are like, tell me exactly what it is. So here's what it is. It starts with a contract. And yes, I am saying this, it should be a no-brainer, right? But I've come across so many people that do not have a contract in place. And that is unacceptable, unacceptable. It can't happen. Now we're going to go one step further, because here at Investor, you always go one step further. You elevate. So people are very surprised when they come across like, uh-oh, this person is not quite our normal investor. You bet. So here we go. You're going to have your contract agreement, and attached to it, you're going to have your scope of work, which is a detailed explanation about what is that needs to be done there. If you have your finishes list, even better. That doesn't mean that if things are out of stock, that things cannot change. Absolutely. But that is a guide of what it is that you envision, right? Because you're going to bet the doorknob that you have in your head, it might not be the doorknob that they have in their head. And if you don't care about it, great, continue. If you do care about it, have it selected. All right. So finishes list. The other thing, have to have their W-9 up front before you sign any check, make any ACA transfer or wire transfer. Keep that in mind. The last and most important thing that you must have, and this is not a recommendation, ladies. This is a requirement. We are saying that you need to have this in place. It's your payment plan. You're going to break down the scope of work into phases. usually about is the deposit in about 4 or 5 phases in there. That doesn't mean that things cannot change. Absolutely. But we are agreeing that on the deposit, the money that is going to be given to deposit is going to be linked, associated with a very specific task from the scope of work. Same thing on phase 1, phase 2, phase 3, phase 4, and final, right? Final, always after inspection and everything is good to go. So keep that in mind. So when you receive an invoice from the contractor, the invoice is related to the payment plan. The language is the same. So we're not talking apples and bananas, right? We're talking the same language, the same thing. All of this Liz is very excited about, right, Liz?
I am. You know why I get excited about when you're sharing this? Because why? I don't... You're like, please tell me why.
Enlighten me.
But I think for those who are listening that are not naturally, one, have the knowledge, right? I have some of this knowledge now, but also the behavioral style of someone who's going to just jump in, make it happen. They really appreciate the process. So once they learn the process, so they kind of respect it in a sense, because they know that's when it's going to yield the results that they want versus what they have been doing. So it's almost like this, good, give it to me and I will follow this because I know that this is how it's supposed to work versus kind of doing it my own way or trusting people, but jumping in too quickly.
And I guarantee you, if you do all this work up front, number one, you're going to find out pretty quickly how sophisticated your contractor is. Contractors that are running a successful business, they thrive with those. Contractors that are wishy-washy. How do I know a contractor is a wishy-washy? He or she or they give me rounded numbers versus exact numbers that they're talking about, right? It's like, yeah, 30 sheets of drywall. Based on what? The math here is not making sense, right? And they get very defensive. They go to like, I've been doing this for 25 years. That's not what I asked. I asked how you came across this calculation for the number of sheets. And they cannot give me a specific answer, right? So you better, right? Much better to find out this before you get into a project versus in the middle of a project. Guess how I know. Right. The last thing that I want to give it to you guys is that you can have all of this in place. But if you don't have this next step that I'm about to say, things can go south pretty quickly, which are change orders. So change orders, you need to establish in your business a process for it. So on paper, change order number one is about this new door that we're going to be adding because of X, Y, and Z, and this is the cost of it, versus having a chit-chat with the contractor on the job site and just approving all of that, not remembering what is the cost, and then that is inserted on phase one. No, change order is a change order, has its own invoice, separate, right? So if you don't have that, it's going to have like a mixed, and when you really don't control your payment plan, and again, this is the way that I've been doing in order for me to have sanity and remember things. Because when you don't remember, when you don't check things, guess how I found out that I was being double charged? Because I was like, hold on a second, you're in charge for HVAC. Why? It was a mistake. Oh, guess what? Yes, it was a mistake. So let's adjust that. But having that as your process, you feel free to adjust your process, but have one. Not having a process will again affect your timeline and your budget. And you actually don't know where things go because the change orders are also teaching you how to evaluate construction next time that you go. Oh, I didn't consider this. Now I am going to consider. And if you ask me like, what was your change order from your past? I don't remember. I don't keep that in my head. But if I look at it, I'm going to see it. Oh, those three things make sense. And then you adjust moving forward. All right. So those are all the documents. If you need to listen to this again and again and again, please do. If you have questions, go to the Facebook, tag me there, and I'll support you. So, all right, let's go to the third thing and one of the very, very important pieces of this puzzle are your recurring meetings. Hear me when I say recurring meeting. Liz, recurring is also another word that I like.
Love language, your other love language.
Yes, word. I like regurgitating, recurring, all those words.
Silence.
Silence.
From people.
No, that's true. That's true. But recurring. And why do I say recurring? Right? Because when something is recurring, I don't need to negotiate or to check on my calendar every week. So you create this pattern of behavior that it's already there, right? So I recommend you to meet your GC Monday morning. You choose the time, but early, now no longer than 10, because then we're already approaching afternoon, right? Monday morning, same day, same time. He knows, she knows, they know, you know, let's all go there, right? And during that meeting, guess who is leading? The GC is leading that meeting. And the structure of the meeting is give me a pulse on what happened last week, what's going to happen the next 2 weeks. Let's emphasize what I'm saying here. What's going to happen the next 2 weeks, including the one that we are in? We always want to be 2 weeks ahead. And that might be overwhelming, but trust me, your brain is going to start learning how to plan ahead 2 weeks. Because if there are things that you need to order, you got to think about this now. Windows don't just show up like that, right? So you need to be thinking always 2 weeks ahead and making sure that he's thinking the same, right? So what happened last week, what's happening next 2 weeks, and any bottlenecks, meaning, hey, Andressa, I know you really wanted to have this, I don't know, tub here, but there is a ductwork going through and not going to fit. So we need to find a different way to do this, right? Any bottlenecks, and then you walk through. And then what is the payment plan, right? What's on the deck here for this week? Or nope, nothing there. The next week, this is what we're looking for. I had a conversation this week with somebody and I asked, walk me through your payment process, meaning they send the invoice and what do you do next? And then she said, I cut the check. And I was like, wait. There is one very crucial step in between invoice and cutting a check or sending a wire, whatever that is, right? Before payment. It is called walkthrough. Think about this, Liz.
It's the verification process. It's like the verification step, right?
Yeah.
The way you think of it.
And then people say, but you don't trust their word. It's not that. It's that I have a lender that is going to only give me the funds based on what is accomplished, right? So they're going to send their inspector here and make sure, either if you have a lender or if you don't, this is the part of your company that's the process. That's the process of your company. But I usually do that because then we're all on the same page at all times, right? Because when we do have a lender, that's the process. They're going to go in and see it. And I learned one day, I don't know if you remember this, Liz, we were doing multiple new construction projects and it was a big amount for windows. And the windows were at the property, were delivered at the property, but they were not installed. So we're like, think about it, the amount of windows, right? And the pricing. Three properties, all like three, four stories, I don't even remember. It was a lot. And then the guy told me like, they're here, but they're not installed. So I'm not going to release this amount. So when we say those things like installed, not in boxes, not in there, right? So you receive the invoice, you walk through, verify if something is wrong or needs to be adjusted, then you send it back, they send the adjustment, and then you cut the check. It is really essential that this is the process. This is your policy. You're not trying to be difficult. You're not trying to make the process more complex. This is just the process. And believe me, this will make sure you're training people to do this and it's going to be super quick. It's not a matter of like, but hear me out, okay? If a contractor sends you an invoice, please do the walkthrough within 24 to 48 hours. It's not like, yeah, I'm going to walk through next week and then you're going to get paid 2 weeks from now. That's also unfair. So the faster as you go through this, better for everybody. And there's one more thing. I have a meeting on Monday, right?
Yeah.
There's one more trick.
You got a lot of tricks in that toolkit.
One more trick here before we go.
You know what you're talking about.
But this is essential too. That will like make it or break it. So I meet on Monday. That's a recurring. But I show up on Wednesday. I don't tell what time. I usually show up at any time. Usually like lunch or around 2 o'clock. I want to know what's going on. Here's the reason why I do that, right? Unannounced. I want to know who is there, who is not. But on Wednesday, I'm able to have a pulse if we're moving towards our goals for this particular week or if we are behind. Liz, what do you think if it happens, if I show up on Friday to check on the results?
You don't have any time for course correction, right? It's constantly realignment, as we say.
Absolutely. So Wednesday gives me a chance to realign and fix anything that needs to be fixed over there. If it is Friday or if I don't go at all, it's too late. I'm going to find out next Monday. And then the entire week was lost.
I have a question for you. With regards to recurring meetings, I love what you're saying about the project manager to the GC. I'm assuming you're having recurring meetings. Say you're the owner and you're really trying to empower your project manager. So when did those happen strategically so the project manager can set the week off, you know, correctly on a Monday and then go by a Wednesday? Like, how would you position that recurring meeting?
Great question. So if you have a PM, so the PM will have the meetings in the mornings. And I'm saying meetings because if you have multiple properties, they're happening in the morning. And then in the afternoon, usually first thing in the afternoon, you have a quick meeting with the PM or PMs, if you have multiple, to give you a pulse on it. And a pulse, I mean, like, this is what's going on. This is what we're on track. Or no, we have bottlenecks over here. And you want to hear from your PM. This is a bottleneck that we have. We have those three options to solve it. I recommend option C, and this is why. Versus, here's the hot potato, figure it out. No, we're training them to be resourceful, and then we can make decisions much quicker.
Great.
Awesome. Ladies, thank you so much for listening. I hope you find this productive. If you put this in place, if you spend the time investing in putting this process in place, I guarantee you, your projects will be more on time and on budget than they are right now. And you feel very confident in scaling and multiplying this moving forward. Thank you so much. Bye.
Thank you.
If you enjoyed this podcast and want to receive updates on our next interviews, go to our website, therealestateinvestor.com. There, you can subscribe to our show, become part of our investor community, and get updates on upcoming episodes.
If you like our show, please share with other women who would benefit. And don't forget to leave us a rating on iTunes. We'd really appreciate it. And as always, we encourage you to take one action as a result of today's show and put it into motion so you can live both a financially free and balanced life. Thanks for spending time with us.
Ciao.